give somebody a hug. Make sure you hug somebody. Hug somebody. Welcome them to church. And you may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I remember that. I'm going to do that now. Right. The Lord reminded me. I don't know who this is for. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7, the Bible talks about Moses. It said Moses was 120 years when he died. 100 and how many years? 20. Some of you are just 20. So you still have a long way to go. Moses was 120. 120 when he died. His eye was not dim. Neither was his natural force abated. God bless you. I want you to step up. This is how the Jewish people greet one another. You're going to meet seven people. You're going to leave your seat. And this is what you say to them. May you live, you say to them, Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Get up, go and tell seven people. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Nobody's greeting our first timer. I need seven people to greet him. Shalom. Bless him seven times. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Look at them eyeball to eyeball as you say it. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Media. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that sweet? May you live up to 120 like Moses. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. That is how the Jews, the Jewish people, that's how they greet one another. Can you imagine being blessed like that every day? In our climb, people curse every day. Especially when you drive on the road and you have to deal with Micra drivers. They are blessed. Okada riders, they are blessed. Fellow road users, people cursing out at one another. Yai! Those things are toxic. Can you imagine an environment where that's the way we greet one another? You go to school and in your class, hey, Shalom, may you live up to 120 like Moses. And the person says, Amen, and blesses you back. Shalom, may you live up to 120 like Moses. And on the average, like 7 people, 10 people are greeting you like that every day. They're prophesying into your life. It's working. Jesus said the words, John 6:63, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are not just sounds, not consonants and vowels. The words I speak unto you are ministering spirit and life to you. Words are powerful. Don't allow people to speak negative into your destiny. I want the Expression House to be a community where people minister life. Life. As you're coming in, the ushers are welcoming you. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. As you're sitting down, the protocol officers are welcoming you with a handshake and saying, Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. They are speaking life to you. They are driving out the darkness. And you take that culture home. Instead of greeting your brother, your sister, Shori Ekpeni, tell them, Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Good morning, Dad. Shalom, Dad. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Good morning, Mom. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Glory be to God. Three people said hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm preaching and teaching. I can already see this is going to be a series. I thought it was going to be a one-off message like last week. What was my topic last week? Dominion has a song. How many people remember that? And the song has to be, first of all, from your... This much word can't be going out, and we won't be having commensurate results. Make sure you commit your life to the word daily. That is how it will produce for you. If you make it a Sunday affair, I'm sorry. May you not just be a hearer of the word. It is not the hearer that profits from the word, it's the doer. Hear the word every day, then do what it says, and you will see results. Praise God. Dominion as a song was the title last Sunday, and it was a one-off message. But this is going to be another series. The power of remembering. The power of remembering. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. This I recall to mind. Jeremiah, popularly known as the weeping prophet, was always crying. That's why the next book after the book named Jeremiah was called Lamentations. They were his lamentations. His crying, his tears. And why was he crying? He was looking at the current condition in which he had found himself. He was impalatable. It was dark. Those were dark days in his ministry. If you back up a little bit to verse 10 and we take it all the way to verse 20, you will see where he's coming from. It was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. It was lamenting. It was lamenting like Nigerians are lamenting now. He had turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He was complaining. And he has bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He was complaining about his life and about his walk with God and how everything was dark. He has cursed me. He has cursed the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. His arrows have entered into my body. I'm in pain. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. Everybody was talking about me and talking about my calamity and my problems and my situation. Everybody was talking how I didn't pass jam, how I didn't make it for A-levels, how blah, blah, blah. He was just complaining and complaining. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunken with wormwood. And he was referring to the Lord that God did all of this to him. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes. If your teeth are broken with gravel stones, that comes with a lot of pain. Can you imagine? They fill your mouth with gravel stones and they force you to chew on gravel. It's excruciatingly painful. And thou hast removed my soul far from peace. So there was turmoil and torment in his soul, in his mind. There was depression. There was anxiety, panic attack, all of that in his soul. Because he said, he has removed my soul far from peace. I forgot prosperity. Forgot. In other words, he had prosperity before, but now he had forgotten about it as because of the enormity of the challenges that he was going through. His soul was going through dark days. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. In other words, he was now living in hopelessness. My strength gone. My hope gone. Remembering my affliction and my misery. The wormwood and the gall. There's something called the gallbladder. In Yoruba, it's called oronro. Oronro. It is the most bitter or the bittermost part of an animal. I remember back in the day when I was growing up, I was the chief slaughterer of chicken, Christmas chicken in my family. My dad would buy live chicken. December 24th, I was the chief slaughterer. I get the knife, sharpen the edge, and I'm looking at the chicken. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. And then when it's time, I slide tackle it. It falls down as if we're in a wrestling match, and I put my legs on it. On the legs, I go for the head. I turn it around. The guy's struggling. I pull the feathers from the neck and zah. And when we're done with that, of course, you put water on fire. When water gets to the boiling point, you get it down, you put the chicken in it, and then all the it's now easy for you to pluck out the feathers. And then I'll try to begin to butcher. And mama would come to rescue me because there was something in the meat called the gall. If you broke the gall and it spilled on the entire chicken, everything becomes bitter. It's a very small part of an animal, but it can make the whole bitter, the gallbladder. Jeremiah said, God has filled me with gall, bitterness. I don't know any good news. My ears don't hear any good news. I can't see any good around me. I'm just bitter. My life is just bitter. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance. His soul held on to the bitter experiences of his life. Am I talking to someone today? I may be talking to someone who is going through a tough time in their life, maybe in their academics or finances or health or family life, and you're wondering, will there be a better day? My soul had them still in remembrance. My soul holds the memories of bitterness, and is humbled in me. That was the state of Jeremiah. But then he came to verse 21. Because if he continued like that, he would wind up committing suicide. People commit suicide out of depression. Do you know that? That when people fall into depression and they're there for a long time, they begin to have suicidal thoughts because they descend and descend and keep descending into the abyss until they come to a point where they feel there is no use living this life again. And I've been there before. I remember many, many years ago, there was a program at Cultural Center where we're going to have the Look and Live Crusade. My life appeared to be on a spot, and everybody had moved on, including my friends and the students I was teaching. Everybody had moved ahead of me, and I was like on a spot. So I used to say to myself, the same traffic lights that showed green to everybody to move showed red to me to stop, and I was on a spot. So we came to that program. It was a youth program. People came from all kind of churches, all kind of denominations, and I ran into my old friends. And you know, that was the time everybody wanted to exchange and compare notes. Hey, what's up? How you doing? What school are you in now? What course are you studying? Are you done? Have you graduated? What's up with your life? You know, and everybody was comparing notes, and everybody was fine. Unilagife everywhere. You know, people were, they had stories to say. They had all kind of things to say. And I was there looking at all of them, including the people I had taught, who had left me on the spot, who had moved on with their lives. After all the pleasantries and all the greetings, I went back into the hall to continue the program. I was looking, but my mind was far. I was in the bitterness of my soul. Not because I was envious that they had made progress, but I was feeling bitter that I had not made progress. According to my own estimation, I thought there was nothing good. I mean, what use? These were some of the people. I was even more brilliant than them. I was even their instructor. So I left the hall. While the program was ongoing, I went to the back of the auditorium. Maybe that's where we're going to have this crusade. I don't know yet. I mean, the very spot. But if it's not, I will visit that spot again. I went to a spot. I sat down on the floor. Third road. Of course, no cars coming. It was a deserted place. It was the back of the auditorium. So the auditorium was filled with young people, white and black, because some people came from overseas, and it was bubbling. The auditorium was bubbling, but my life was not bubbling. I sat behind the auditorium. My situation was like the man who was lame at both feet, who was at the gate called Beautiful. The gate was beautiful, but his life was ugly. I sat on the floor in my depressed state, and I offered a prayer to God. I said, God, you know, I'm not going to kill myself. You kill me. God, all I want you to do today is kill me. Because for me, I don't know how to commit suicide. But you got to kill me. Because I was telling him, I don't understand what you are doing with my life. If you don't have a use for my life, then what's the point? Kill me and let me rest. Sat there on the floor, 30 minutes, God did not kill me. 1 hour, God did not kill me. When the heat from the coal tar was beginning to penetrate my skin, I got up. I advised myself. I went back to the auditorium. If God had answered that foolish prayer, I'll be dead. And you wouldn't have known PFE. And there wouldn't have been this boy called Jireni Oluwa or his sister. Because I wasn't married. I was in my maybe early 20s, late teenage, early 20s. That was my condition. That was the condition of Jeremiah. You see, when you focus your attention on the things that are not working yet in your life. Somebody say yet. Y-E-T. Say yet. We must understand the power of yet. That you don't have something today. Don't say, I don't have it. Say, I don't have it yet. Because the time is coming, you are going to have it. Can I have an amen? Yeah. My father used to tell me, what is not enough today is going to be more than enough tomorrow. It used to sound like a parable. That did when? That when? But I see now, Jeremiah was in that condition of bitterness of soul because he had looked at the areas of his life that were not working. But can I tell you, at every season, God is faithful. Did you hear what I said? In every season, at every stage of your life, even now that it looks as though there's a particular area that is not working, there are other areas that are working. Can I have an amen? Amen. There are other areas where you are gaining mileage ahead of your contemporaries. Even though there seems to be other areas where they have gone ahead of you. But if you look into your life, you have a beautiful life. You have a good life. And nothing is wrong with your life. Say with me, I have a good life. I have a beautiful life. Nothing is wrong with my life. Jeremiah now came to verse 21. You remember that in verse 20, he told us what his memory was holding on to, what he remembered. There is a portion of your mind responsible and a portion of your brain responsible for memory. The brain is the hardware. The mind is the software. There's a portion of it responsible for memory. He said, if you check out that place, the only thing that is retained in that place are the memories of bitterness and things that are not working, dark days in my life. He said, but I had to come to verse 21. And in verse 21, he made a switch. He said, look, I have a choice what I want to remember. Listen to me, church. Never allow the devil have a field day in your mind. Never rent your mind to the devil. If you rent him your mind, he will give you suicidal thoughts. He will tell you 1,001 reasons why your life is horrible, your life is bad, your life is ugly. There is nothing good that can come out of your life. And if you follow that pattern, you're going to kill yourself. Don't rent him a free space in your mind. Jeremiah made a switch. I said, hey, excuse me. That's fine. That's okay. But this I recall to mind. Therefore, have I hope. If I recall the bitterness, there is no hope. There is hopelessness. In fact, he mentioned it earlier. But what did he recall? What did he have to go back into his past to bring up into the present? Which would produce hope. Hope is the anchor of your soul. If you take a ship to the harbor and you don't anchor the ship, It will drift away on the high seas. Water will carry it away. So by the time a sailor packs or docks, that's the word they use for it, docks a ship, they will anchor the ship so that no matter the wind, no matter the storm, no matter the turbulence on the high, on the seas, it will not wash away the ship. Hope is what anchors our soul in the midst of the vicissitudes of life. What did he recall to mind? And then began to have hope. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies. He began to have a change of thinking. Hey guys, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They don't fail. My circumstances may change, but his compassions fail not. In fact, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you know why people commit suicide? Do you know why people stay too long in depression? Because they think of their present only. They are not able. Many times they fail to go back into the past and bring up good memories. They fail to remember. To remember the time that God was doing amazing things in their lives. They fail to recall and bring to the present that God had delivered me from something before. And if he did before, he's going to do again. And then you now have courage to face the current situation and speak to the situation and say, this too shall pass. People fail to recall. It looks as if this is all. Oh, yeah, this is it. I'm not going to make any progress again in my life. Okay, I accept my fate. Never. For a child of God, there is always a better tomorrow. Can I have an amen? Amen. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Your tomorrow is brighter than today. In the midst of the challenges of life, especially when we're faced with a challenge that seems insurmountable, one thing that we hardly do is call to memory, call to remembrance the faithfulness of God in times past. We hardly recall because we are often overwhelmed with the enormity of the current situation. This feeling of being overwhelmed, if unchecked, leads to hopelessness and a sense of foreboding. Let me tell you what a sense of foreboding is. A sense of foreboding is when you always expect something bad to happen. You just wake up in the morning and you think, I don't think anything good is going to happen today. It's going to be bad. It's not my prayer, but I just know it. And then it happens. Say, well, I said it. You know, there's some people like that. There are people like that. I said it. Nothing good. That's the sense of foreboding. And it's demonic. And it's devilish. And it's dark. And it's not from God. And you need to deal with it. Some of you have bad dreams. And it's your gift. And so when it happens, you pride yourself in it. I said it. I knew it. I knew somebody was going to die. I just knew it. I saw it. You need deliverance. Why don't you ever see good things in your dream? In some churches, they prophesy every Sunday, and the prophecy is always negative. Oh, Maori Beauty Star. Somebody wants to go to Lagos. Don't go. Blood. That's all they see. They never see something good is about to happen. A sense of foreboding. Always giving you negative expectations. It dims the light of the soul. This sense of foreboding dims the light of the soul. Listen to my words very keenly. I wrote them very carefully by the help of God. It dims the light of the soul, and it seems as though there would never be a better day. As darkness engulfs the depressed soul, the chances of hearing God's voice, which is much needed to light up the soul, becomes very slim. As the prince of darkness seeks to dominate the entire soul to fulfill his mission, which is to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10. But glory be to King Jesus. I said, glory be to King Jesus. who has come that we might have life and have it to the fullest. King Jesus is the light of the world, and no one follows him will ever walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. According to John chapter 8 and verse 12, can I have an amen? How do we access his light in the midst of our dark days? Jesus said in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. I am currently writing a book titled Surviving Dark Days. It's from my experience in the dark valleys of life and how that God can come on the scene to change your trajectory, change your story. Jesus said, he spoke again to them saying, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. There is no other light of the world. Some people call their religion the religion of light. It's a scam. Jesus is the light of the world. That's why nations where Jesus is not exalted, those nations are full of darkness. In some of those nations, women don't have any right. They have no freedom. A woman cannot drive. This is a sin in this time and age for a woman to drive. What is wrong with a woman driving? I laughed when I heard that they were even talking about banning the sale of banana in some of their open markets. Because they connected it to sexual immorality. Can you see how dark their soul can be? Because that's all they can think about. Any life that doesn't have Jesus is in darkness. Doesn't matter how many times you come to church. Doesn't matter if you were born in a church. Your father is a pastor. Your mom is a lady evangelist. You were born on a Sunday in a mission house. Jesus is the light of the world. Oh, he's the light of the world. When it comes to your heart is lit up. Your heart becomes beautiful. And you can tell when there is light. And you can tell when there is no light. When you come to a room like this and see our light, beautiful. This place is going to be, if you come back here next year, this place is going to be 100 times more beautiful. Can I have an amen? Yeah. We're going to change the entire interior and we're going to have more light. And we're going to have air conditioner, so I'm not going to be sweating like this. Glory be to God. Woo! Light is beautiful. Light is beautiful. Light and power, very beautiful. You know when there is power, there is light. And you can tell when two people come to church and there is power in one person's house, but there's no power in the other person's house. When they come to church, their clothes are rumpled where there is no power. We can tell from your hair, from your makeup, from your dress, even from your attitude, because you just wear that attitude. Like, what's wrong with this one? Why are you? What's she feeling like? Because she's all neat. The clothes has been well ironed, and perfume. She had time to do her makeup. She had time. And you know, women, when you're doing your makeup, you want light. Am I right? Nobody wants to do makeup in the darkness. In fact, they want to sit in front of a mirror. In fact, right now they have some ring light, or what do they call it? They have the light. If you've ever been to a makeup studio, you need to go to one. There must be light. That's one of the things that must be in the makeup studio. There must be light. So when a lady steps into church that had power in her house and another lady that had no power, you can tell the difference. Men, I like power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Somebody say power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. Jesus had that power. He gave the power to the apostles as well. And in the book of Acts, some 7 sons of one Sceva that had no power in their house. Their generator had spoiled. NEPA didn't supply power. They had no power at all. Their clothes were spiritually rumpled. They were looking dirty. They had not taken their bath. Do you know in certain places, if you don't have power, you'll not be able to take your bath. Because water will not flow. Because you need that power to generate water into the house. Are you getting what I'm saying? You need the power to pump water. These guys didn't have the power of God. And they came and they said, in the name of Jesus, the Jesus that Paul preaches. Look at the connection, no direct connection. The Jesus that Paul preaches. Get out! And the demon said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? And he dealt with them because they had no power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, somebody say, I have the power of God. If you have Jesus, you have the power of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power of God. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. No one that follows me will ever walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But hey, Pastor Fred, I'm born again. I've heard what you have said before, but it still looks like I don't have light in my soul. Looks like my soul is dark right now. I'm not feeling good. Once in a while, I think of committing suicide because I don't know where this is going. No good news in Nigeria. You wake up in the morning, they say, fuel is now, PMS is now, it's something per liter. Now, the next day is 1,000 something per liter. Where are we going with all this? You need light in your soul so that you will not be bothered. You will be unbothered by what is going on in the world. Because the Bible already prophesies in Isaiah 60 and verse 1, arise, shine, for your light is come. The darkness shall cover the earth is no news, and gross darkness the people. But upon you, the light of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shall be seen. Because the light of the Lord has arisen, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen, shall become obvious. If you look at what I'm wearing this morning, does it look like there's no light in my house? But if everything was rumpled, some of you will not be able to talk, but in your mind you say, ah, what happened to pastor's dress today? I'm using the physical and the spiritual together for you to understand. In America, for example, you better don't joke with light. Because in all of the houses and the places we have stayed, people don't have generators. They depend on light. In fact, you know, they use electricity to cook. Electricity. They don't have gas cookers. They use the cooker is electric. Your heater, if it's winter, your heater is powered by light. Power. So if there is a power cut and there is no supply to your house, people can freeze to death. That's too much for the mind of someone that was born and bred in Africa. You don't know people can freeze to death, because it has never happened here before. The worst of our cold cannot kill anybody. Worst case scenario, you will shake, and then you'll be fine. But I'm telling you, overseas, people freeze to death. I was drinking a bottle of water. I didn't finish it. January 2014, 10 years ago. And I dropped it in the car. I went in to sleep. The next day, we got up. We were going to the White House, when the DMV area, when Maryland, we were going to the White House in Washington, D.C. As I got into the car, Toyota, it was a Toyota Yaris, they handed me a bottle. Instead of having water, it had iced block. They said, Pastor Fred, this was the water you didn't finish yesterday. I said, no, that can't be. You brought this from inside. I said, no, we didn't bring anything. we didn't bring anything from inside. This is, you left the water here. That's it. The water had turned to a block of ice without going into the freezer. Now, in my Nigerian mind, that's impossible. Because to turn water from the liquid state to solid state, it must be refrigerated or it must be frozen. Am I right about that? There was no freezer in the car. I just left the bottle of water. I said, is that for real? Are you for real? They said, no, see it for yourself, sir. I said, so what if somebody mistakenly slept off in the car by the next day? Winter is no joke overseas. Those who have traveled during winter can tell. I was in Victoria Station, London, about 3 years ago, waiting for someone who was coming to collect some stuff from me. I brought from Nigeria for him. And it was taking time. My stomach, there was heat, there was central heater. My stomach was like in the bosque, was chicken, If I'd eaten anything that morning, I would have thrown up. My entire intestine was shaking, was vibrating. I was wearing a winter jacket. Not from Nigeria, from England. I did a quick video and I said, hey guys, Harmattan is a scam, man. Winter. So imagine something happened in Victoria Station, London, and there was no power supplied to the station. And we had to be in the cold for 1 hour. Some people would die. Not me, but some people would just die. You cannot afford to live your life without the power of God in your spirit. This world is too cold. You need power. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? How then do we access the light of Jesus in the midst of our dark days? It is summed up in one word. In one word. Holy Spirit, help me. How do we access the light of God in our soul, in the midst, in the very midst, in the very middle of a dark situation? How can you instantly access the light of God? How? It is summed up in one word. One word. You need one word. Tell your neighbor, say you need one word. And that word is remember. Somebody say remember. Say remember. Let me tell the third person, say remember. In other words, it was a member before, and then you got cut off from it, and then you need to go back and remember. You need to join it together. You need to join it together. And I show you, it sounds very simple, but it's profound. As simple as it sounds, if we will do this daily, we will walk in victory every day. How about the saints of old? Did they go through dark days? Answer me, church. Did they face dark days? The patriarchs of faith, Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, did they have to deal with dark days? In Genesis 15, 1 to 3, Abraham, the friend of God, was speaking to God. Genesis 15, 1 to 3. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram questioned that. Reward? Reward? You didn't just say reward. You said great reward. You didn't just say great reward. You said exceeding great reward, and I don't have a child. Excuse me, Lord. What are you talking about? Exceeding great reward. Verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? What will you give me? Saying, I am childless. I go childless. I am already going the way of all men. I'm going old and I'm going to die. And I'm going to die childless. And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Eliezer is the steward of my house. This guy was given birth in my house. Servants were born in the house of Abraham. About 318 of them he took to war. When they came to hijack Lot and his family, and the enemies were dealing with them, and he heard, he armed 318 servants born in his house. Do you know how painful that can be? You are attending everybody's convocation. All your friends, you attended their matriculation. Now you are attending convocation and graduation, and you are still writing jam. Or you are still 100 level. And you were all classmates in secondary school. Your friends are having naming ceremony. You are still forcing God to get married. Delay, delay. But I want to tell you that delay is no denial. Can I have an amen? Amen. He that shall come and shall not tarry. Even though he tarry, wait for him, for he shall surely come and shall not tarry. See him, the Lord, and it is going to happen in the name of Jesus. Amen. Those who have laughed at you will have no choice but to laugh with you. Amen. Because the Lord will make you laugh. I prophesy to someone in this house, you will laugh again.
I mean, you are going to laugh again.
When people are depressed, they don't laugh. When you laugh around them, you seem mad. Why are you laughing? What's funny? Abraham was in that state. He was telling God, you haven't given me a child. I go childless. And is this Eliezer of Damascus, the steward of his house, is going to inherit all my property. He's going to be the chief of my house. And Abraham said, Lord, behold, to me you have given no seed. See how many few words God spoke. Very few words. Abraham, I'm your Lord. You're exceeding great. Can you go back to verse 1? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. 3 words. I am thy shield. 7 words. And thy exceeding great reward. About how many words there? About 12 words. And your exceeding great reward. That was all God said. See how many words Abraham used to reply. And Abraham said, Lord God, 1, 2. What would thou give me? Making 6 words. Seeing I go, 9 words. Childless, 10. And the steward, 13. Of my house, 16. Is this Eliezer, 19. Of Damascus, 21. How many words did the Lord speak? 12. This is already 21. Now go to verse 3. And Abraham said, he was not done talking. He had spoken 21 and he was not done talking. He wasn't done talking. Some people have bottled up things. When you allow them to talk to you, that's when you know, oh, they got a lot to say. And especially when people have gone through stuff for a long time. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house. I was part of the naming. I gave them my cow to name the baby. I sponsored the naming. I gave them a bag of rice, a bag of wheat, butter, kine, oil, pepper. It's going to be my heir. So many words. And behold, the word of the Lord came again to him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your own heir. God had to comfort him. Abraham was going through dark days. His name was Abram. Abram means exalted father, and he was no father at all. And as though God was making fun of him, even though he wasn't, because God is a covenant-keeping God, God cut a covenant with him and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. The H there is Hashem. Hashem is the name of God. God put his name in Abraham's name. To say, I mean business. Your wife Sarai shall no longer be Sarai, but Sarah. Abraham means father of many nations. And he would walk on the street and people would call him, father of many nations. You think you're smart. Father! When you listen to social media, there's that voice that says, you think you're wise. You know what I'm talking about. You think so you're wise. They were laughing at him. When you were exalted father, you were no father. Now, father of many nations. Father of nations! Father of nations! Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, father of nations. I say, yeah, how are you? Yes, I am father of nations. And he walked that walk for another almost 25 years. Father of nations, father of nations, father of nations. But he kept his profession of faith without wavering. And God came through to honor his faith. According to Hebrews 11:11, even Mother Sarah had by faith received strength to conceive seed. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength by faith to conceive seed. Can you by faith receive strength today to conceive seed? And you'll be delivered of a male child. You'll be delivered of your testimony. That thing you are trusting God for will come to pass in the name of Jesus. I gave you this example to let you know that even the fathers of faith went through dark times. They went through dark times. They had their fair share. David the psalmist, his life was characterized by many, many distresses, externally and internally. From running away from Saul, to running away from his own son, a son of his own bowel, after he had become king. Saul didn't want him to become king after he killed Goliath. He wanted to kill him. He became king by the hand of God. His son wanted to take over his throne. At some point, he left the throne and was running away from his own son. Yeah, he didn't want to kill that boy. When they killed him, David rendered a lamentation for his son. Oh, my son, Absalom! Absalom, my son! But the soldiers had to kill him, otherwise he would kill David. How heartrending could that be? These were men that served God. Yet their lives were characterized by dark days and distresses and calamities and problems. Today's Christianity tells you the moment you're born again, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand why people, born again people, have problems. Born again people are not supposed to have problems. That gospel is on one leg, it's not balanced. Paul the apostle, that wrote most of the epistles in the New Testament, wrote a whole lot of them in prison, in distress, in times of famine, in times when he had nothing to eat. He said it, I have learned both how to abase and to abound in Philippians chapter 4. I have learned to cope with when there is plenty in my house to eat and when there is nothing. We serve him all the same. We are not into Christianity because of convenience. We serve him even though sometimes it looks as though he has not answered our prayer, a particular prayer point. But we know he will, so we keep praying. We don't stop coming to church because God will give him a list of things to do and he hasn't done any of them and it's 2024 and it's October. And you say, dominion, which kind of dominion? And many have been offended and they stop coming to church and that's the beginning of their downfall because Satan will now sit on their case and deal with them until they are no more. I've seen a few in this period of my walk with God. I'm saying to you that life is tough. I'm saying to you that life is not easy, but I'm saying to you that God is faithful. Did you hear what I said? I'm saying to you that God is faithful. No matter what you face in your place of work, no matter the opposition, no matter what you face in school, no matter what you face at home, if you hold on to this Jesus, you will always overcome. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5:4. You need to remember. David remembered. Let's see one of the dark times of David. Psalm 13, 1 to 3. Quickly. Quickly. I need to get that done and move. Psalm 13, 1 to 3. David was crying to God in his distress. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? David, the man after God's own heart, a man always singing to God. David created some musical instruments. He was so in love with God in the area of music. He worshipped. He created some instruments that were not in existence. The same man was saying, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Does this sound like a statement of faith? Nobody's in church. Does this sound like a statement of faith? How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever! Before God answered, David said, forever! You can imagine a man almost charging at God. How long will you forget me, O God? Forever! How long will thou hide thy face from me? He thought that God had hidden the light of his countenance from him. Verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. These men had their fair share. Why were these things written? They were written for our learning. They were written so that when you are going through your dark days, you can go through and say, wow, I'm not the only one. Wow, Wow! David went through this and God brought him out. Abraham went through this, God brought him out. Isaac went through this, God brought him out. Jacob went through this, God brought him out. Deborah went through this, God brought her out. Romans 15 verse 4. On the screen, quickly. Romans 15 verse 4. Romans 15 verse 4. Read, everybody. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why? So that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. There is nothing you are going through that nobody has ever gone through before. 1 Corinthians 10:13. For there had no temptation taken you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There had no temptation taken you, which is not such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. It is common to man. It is common to man. Tell your neighbor, it is common to man. What you are going through is common to man. Everything written is written for our learning. Jeremiah recalled in Lamentations 3:21. These I recall to mind, and I have hope. He had to recall the mercies of the Lord. In spite of all of this happening on my left, I remember my right. I remember it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. I remember that they are new every morning. I remember the mercies of yesterday is not what is sustaining me today. They are new every morning. I wake up like this. I see new mercies. New mercies. Oh, there's a new mercy for tomorrow again. There's a new mercy for Tuesday. There's a new mercy for Wednesday. Every day you wake up like this and you hit the floor from your bed, say, I thank God for new mercies. Why? Because great is your faithfulness. David also remembered. 1 Samuel 17, 32 to 37. 1 Samuel 17. When David was faced with the situation, It wasn't even David. It was the armies of Israel that had the situation with Goliath. David just went there to see to the welfare of his brothers. His father gave him food to go and give his brothers. And then he saw what they were faced with. He was a shepherd boy. He was too young to be in the army. Otherwise, they would have enlisted him in the army. But he had not attained the age of 18 when he was supposed to go to the army. So they left him at home. And he was taking care of animals. He was taking care. Listen up, everybody. And he was taking care of animals. And so when he got to the war front and saw what was going on, somehow he made a boast. And Saul, the king, was the tallest man in Israel. From his shoulder up, he was taller than every other person. But even Saul was intimidated by the stature and the physique and the skill and the wickedness of Goliath. And David was brought before Saul. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. My lord the king, excuse me, sir, long live the king. Let no man's heart fail because of this tall guy. Thy servant, referring to himself, will go and fight him. I will fight with this Philistine. What? You are a small boy? He's a big guy. The entire armies of Israel saw Goliath as too big to handle. Too big, nobody could handle him. David saw him as too big to miss. I can't miss any part of it. If I shoot his head, I will get him. If I shoot his neck, I will get him. I know he has armor to cover his chest, so I won't go for the chest. His head is big. He's so big. I can't miss the head. He's the head of state. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. You are not able. How many people have told you before, you are not able to start a business? You are too young to go into that profession? You can't write a book? One of my girls in this church was telling me of someone who writes and publishes books online and is making $40,000 a month. I said, why don't I have such in my church? That's the way I think. I don't think, oh no, you are too young to be earning $40,000 a month. No. In the name of Jesus, people will rise up from this church, they'll be earning such. And more from their legitimate efforts. Can I have an amen? Because God will be giving you inspiration to write. And your books will be indisputable in the name of Jesus. All of you in the creatives industry, and all of you doing things outside creatives, all of you in tech, come on! No matter what you do, there will be somebody somewhere that will tell you you are not able. You are too young. You are not qualified. You don't speak the kind of English that is needed. With all their English, what have they achieved? For thou art but a youth. Like David didn't know he was a youth. Did he need to be reminded? And he, a man of war from his youth. Look at his resume. Look at his CV. Where you are is where he's coming from. That man has got experience of warfare. Saul really cared about this young boy because he was a handsome boy. Handsome boys don't look like they can fight. Mess up with one at your own peril. Next verse. And David said unto Saul, David recalled the power of remembering. You must remember. Remember how our God has never failed. That's why I'm amazed that some of you have testimonies you don't share. Because you don't see it as a big deal. Because God did it. If God didn't do it, it would have been a problem. People travel and come back, and you don't know it's a testimony. If you didn't come back, it would have been news. David said, this is one of the secrets of David. One day, sir, there's always that one day in our lives that you must remember. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, just one lamb. And I went out after him. If it were PFE, I would have gone out to church to share the testimony. A lion came, took an animal, but did not take me. Oluwa eba mi dupe. I went out after him. David went out after a lion. A lion had never seen a human being coming after him before. Since the inception, since the birth, since the genealogy of lions. A lion had never seen a human being coming after him, except one crazy man called Samson. And he was long dead, no other man. And then this one coming after me, the lion was carrying the animal and then looked back and said, who is this? A human being? This can't be a human being. This must be a lion being. It takes a lion to chase after a lion. The lion is so strong among animals that even the Bible testifies in Proverbs 30, verses 29 to 30. He said, there'll be three things that go well. They go where? There's a way lions walk. They don't. No, no. When I see some of you walking like that, I say, come on. They go where? There'll be three things that go where? No hurry. Four are comely going. Number one, the lion, which is strongest, the Bible says strongest, among beasts, and turneth not away from any. Go back to 1 Samuel 17. David's testimony. David said that day, I went out after him. 70 years. Go to verse 37 or 38, wherever you are. Yes, next verse. I went out after him and smote him. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. He delivered the animal. The animal was not yet dead. That animal would love David till death. Because as for that animal, he knew this was R.I.P. This is R.I.P. But a savior came. Got him out. He might have some bruises, but that animal was running back to the fold. David now faced the lion. Have you ever thought about the few minutes or various minutes of the mortal combat? This was a mortal combat. Somebody must die. So either the lion dies or David dies. Somebody, you don't face a lion and all the situations that are like lions in your life, you will overcome them. I delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, he didn't run after the animal anymore. He now faced me. I caught him by his beard. I wish I was an expert in animations. And maybe our guys can do something about this. Imagine David holding the beards of the lion. And the lion roaring. Wah, wah. Within those few minutes, the lion wanted to kill David because he knew this guy meant business. So I needed to kill him. And David also knew, no retreat, no surrender. It's either I kill this lion or it kills me. But I'm not going to allow this lion to kill me. How resolute are you in the battles of life? You take it away. Small suspension from your ministry. You're not singing again. I wonder at some of you how you take your life. And when I see the way you take the things of God, I see it in your life also. Small position. I'm not doing it again. I'm not going to that church. Go to another church. Only if there are angels there that you want problems. David was not a quitter. Quitters don't win. And winners don't quit. From my teenage years, I wrote in many of my books, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Can you imagine David holding the beard of the lion and then dropping the lion to run away? That lion will not only eat him, it will eat him out of anger. Then go and eat all the animals. If he took one before, he will invite other lions. We must finish this business. But David came to a point of no retreat, no surrender. It's either I die or you die. And people who have risked their lives for the gospel don't die. Jesus said those who seek to save their lives will lose it. But those who lose their life for the sake of the gospel, they will find it. God will keep them. Imagine the lion exerting all of its energy and all of its force. Punching at David as David held the beard. Do you think the lion was just gentle? Was just looking. Okay. You are dragging my beard. No! He was throwing all the legs, throwing the hands. They throw punches. The punch of a tiger, this, I don't know if a lion, of a tiger, they said is what? The weight of 10 bags of cement. 10 bags of cement. That's why Iron Mike Tyson, that guy was a rare boxer. He used to train with a wild animal. That's why Mike Tyson will give you one blow. You will fall down. You rise up, you fall again. Without him punching you twice. Ask Evander Holyfield. As big as he was, Tyson gave him one uppercut. Fear Evander Holyfield. Evander. Bush Evander, eh? He went down. Boah. He didn't fall on his back. He fell on his face. He got up. He fell again. One blow, seven dies. That's what we used to call it in Mokola. You can't be a Mokola boy back in those days and not know how to fight. The street taught me to fight. I had three sisters, man. You can't come and beat my sister. And then they'll come and call me at home and say, somebody beat me. I say, hey, you too. Why did you have this person? You've lost your brotherhood that day. So I needed to fight. We learned to fight on the street. They'll break your bucket. You'll break their bucket. They carry your water, you carry their water. Huh? They can't throw away your water, break your bucket, you go home to Yaki, my mother, and you cry. They broke my bucket. Fear on your face. My mom taught me to face life. If I told my mom as a little boy, mommy, that uncle is always abusing me, and I don't like it. My mom will say, Enweni, laughing comedy. It is with your mouth you say, no, I don't want. That's a blessing from God. To face your fears. You face your fears. Face your fears in the place of prayer. Face your fear in the place of the study of the word of God. Stop looking for quick help. Quick help. Pastor, help me. Apostle, help me. Online apostle. Those of you that follow online apostle. In the day of your trouble, you should go and call online apostle. Some are so irresponsible. You have no responsibility to the house where you are fed every week. Some of you don't pay your tithe here. You never mistakenly give offering. You follow online apostle. You send your money there. But when there's trouble, you come here. I'm going to be very hard in that area. You need to grow up and be responsible. Take responsibility for your life. David faced that giant. Face the animal, rather. He faced the animal in a mortal combat. I can imagine the teeth of the lion trying to pierce into his palm. David held the pants. David moved the animal to one side. David moved the animal to the other side. David made him fall down. The guy got up. David took him again. Boah! David took him again. No sword in his hand. With bare hand, killed the lion. That was an experience. I caught him by his beard and I smote him. Don't go there yet. Verse 35, please. And slew him. I killed him. I killed that lion. The lion stretched. Died. David hit the head. He can't move again. Very good. I maybe carried it home. Oh yeah, let's make barbecue. The women in the house ran off. They ran away. Nobody has ever eaten a lion soon before. Where did you get this from? I killed it. You will have testimonies. Testimonies that cannot be denied. Testimonies that will mark you forever. This current situation you are going through is because God wants to get the glory out of it. It's because you are going to have a testimony that people will listen to and they will fear God. Can I have an amen? Don't run away from challenges. Don't run away from the issues of life. Stand your ground and face it. Face it. You are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They said they are bringing trouble this week. Stand your ground. Face the trouble. Trouble will get out. God said in Psalm 91 verse 15, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. When you get into trouble, God also gets into that trouble with you. God said, I will be with him in trouble. And when God gets into trouble, trouble itself gets into trouble. Are you with me? Go back to my first Samuel 17. Next verse, verse 36. Glory to God. He said to Saul in final summation, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Another day, a bear came. When a bear stands like this, full length, some of them are taller than a human being. Some of them are as tall as a human being. And those guys are ferocious too. Thy servant killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. It's like a lion, I will kill him. It's like a bear, I will finish him. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David's heart was in connection with the armies of the living God. Verse 37. David said, moreover, this is where I'm going, and I stop here. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, I didn't do it by my strength. There was a God who delivered me. His name is Yahweh, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Because they would have made a mincemeat of my life. But God delivered me out of them. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. God be with you till we meet again. David said, don't worry, I'm coming back with a testimony. After he said to him, go, see what happened. Next verse. Saul now said, come back here. I remember that, me too, I'm a man of war. I have my armors, or armory. And Saul armed David with his armor. and put a helmet of brass upon his head. Oh, Lord, my funny God. David was a small boy, about 16, 17. Saul was the tallest man in Israel. His head must be big. His head must be bigger than the head of David. So his helmet, can you imagine the helmet here? Oh, Boju, David, God. Very funny. David wanted to say, okay, I can't see you. Look at, that's a helmet too. And then he now put a helmet of brass upon his head. Ah! Okay? And also he armed him with a coat of mail. Have you ever worn an oversized coat before? Did somebody ever dash you a suit? One of your uncles, and the hand was here. Like when my son, when he was much younger, he used to like to wear my suit. And he would, after Sunday, I would take my jacket and wear it. I said, oh boy, suit is here. Imagine David. Imagine Saul, you knew you had all these armors. Why didn't you wear them to go and fight? Some people are not going anywhere and they won't allow you to go. Wake up. And David guarded his sword upon his armor. And he has said to go. In other words, he attempted. He tried to go. The boot was too big. The sword too long. It was touching his feet. The helmet. Helmet of brass. What would you? How will I carry this sword? If he had gone out that way, Goliath would have made a mess of him. You don't fight Goliath. The armor of Saul will not work in the hands of David. You need to find what works for you. Don't be taking every advice on Google, Siri, what your friends are saying. Go to the Word of God. Are you listening to me, church? Go to the Word of God. There is something that suits your life. There is something that will work for you. Go and get instructions from the Holy Spirit. Free of charge. When he has said to go, for he had not proved it. So David said unto Saul, sir, I'm sorry, I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them. Omolomo yalo wisdom. I have not used them before. And David, the weight of that thing wanted to kill him. You had all that. Why didn't you go face the giant? What did he do? He now went with something he was used to. Next verse. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him. He bent down in the brook. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 stones, 5 the number of grace. And put them in a shepherd's bag. He was a shepherd boy. He was used to carrying his shepherd bag around and knowing that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he carried his shepherd's bag. He put the 5 smooth stones there, which he had, even in his scrip and his sling. That's the catapult, which was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Can you imagine this ridiculous fight? Somebody is fully armed with sword and spear. In fact, Goliath had an armor bearer. Someone that carried his shield. He had to get someone to carry his shield. And here was this ridiculous looking young man. Catapult in his hand. Ah. Goliath spoke 33 words. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bared the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he had to look about because he was expecting another giant like himself, but there was no giant. He couldn't believe, was this small boy? He thought the guy was just running across the battlefield, but, excuse me, you? Oh. The Bible says it disdained him. Oh, I'm sorry for you. I will break your bones. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. David was a fine boy like Pastor Fred. Praise God. Amen. He was a fine boy. Like Keaton Lokere. See the way the guy's posing, man. Fine boy. And all the fine boys from the Potter's Planet. See y'all. Those are my G's, man. fine boys. And the Philistine said unto David, if you count all his words, he spoke 33 words. 33, I counted them. Trust me. Am I a dog? Yes, you are. That thou comest to me with staves. Because that was the first picture that came to his mind. Because you come with staves to a dog. So am I a dog? Yes, you are. You are what you call yourself in the name of Jesus. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He spoke the language of the Philistine. Ashtaraha, Ophriaha, Azozo, Ozo, 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 Ndaboske, Bahose. He cursed David by his gods. But the curse, curseless, will not come. Can I have an amen? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Can I have an amen? Amen. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, Lenulati soro. When they talk, don't allow the enemy have the last say. Are you getting what I'm saying? Talk back at your mountain. Talk back at the enemy. David talked back. Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's El Sabaoth. The God of the armies of Israel. He didn't say the God of the army. He said armies, because Israel has two armies. The one army, the physical army that you see, and the angel army. Spiritual army. Same God. Two armies. In the name, the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the angel army, of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Yes. This day. Somebody said this day. David didn't postpone. He said today, 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 today. Not tomorrow. Will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. And to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David was returning all the glory to God. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and they will give you into our hands. When God had that, God said, mark him. He said, sir, yes, sir, get down to business. This guy has committed us. I close. In the battles of life, learn to get God involved. David switched the battle. Said, the battle is the Lord's. The Lord said, eh? He said, yes, sir. Michael, kill and say. They entered into that battle. A smooth stone will not bring down a giant. But it was aided by the armies of the Lord. I figure, as the stone was, as David extended that thing, an angel was flying under the stone. With the sword, the edge of the sword pierced the forehead of Goliath, and then stone enter. What happen? What break it? Oh Lord, when we get to heaven, this is one battle. I will find out details. Honestly, I said, David, how far now? King Jesus, what happened? You know, in that battle. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't run away from him. Like, he didn't run away from the lion. He faced his fears. This week, go and face your fears. From today, face your fears and defeat them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Three people said amen. Amen. You know the rest of the battle. David put his hand in his sling, in his bag, and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. End of Goliath. David said, I will smite you. I will cut off your head. David didn't have a sword. David now looked at the Goliath man on the floor. He removed his sword, used his sword to cut off his head. As prophesied, stand on your feet, everybody. Remember, what helped David to have courage? He had faced mortal battles like that before. Mortal. Whatever you are going through now is preparing you for greater glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. I said greater glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name. Thank you for your word. We remember today what you have done in our lives. We remember what you've done for us. We remember your works on the cross of Calvary. We remember your name. We remember your blood. We remember your works. We remember your faithfulness. And we remember our testimonies. Lord, let these words which you have helped me to speak remain etched in the memories of your children. Especially those who are going through dark days at the moment. Looks like nobody knows and nobody cares. Lord, please come through for them. Lord, help them to remember so that they can have the courage to face their fears and come back with the head of Goliath. In the name of Jesus. This week, Lord, we go into this week under the canopy of your mercy. We are shielded from every attack of the enemies. We are shielded from every arrow. We are shielded from the scourge of the tongues of men. We win every battle. We overcome every opposition. Lord, we will bring you the glory. We come back next Sunday with our songs of thanksgiving. In the mighty name of Jesus. We honor you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen.